doing great.
Good. All right, we finally touched base.
I know. How's the snow?
Well, there is no snow anymore. It's 17 degrees.
Didn't you have 3 feet of snow or more? It just disappears?
Well, that was actually up in Denver, and I just got off the phone with somebody a few minutes ago, and he told me that Denver was at 87 degrees yesterday.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we're having incredibly beautiful weather. It's supposed to be 75 today. And
wow.
So I was actually out watering earlier because it's just so dry, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Such is the way of it here.
What do you still have growing or in, or what were you watering?
I planted some strawberries earlier in the year, and so they haven't been in the ground very long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so dry here that if you don't, we call it winter water.
Huh.
If you don't winter water, things will just die. And I also planted some bulbs.
Yeah.
And I think the snow, I planted them last weekend, and it hasn't snowed. It hasn't rained. It's just been sunny since then. So I wanted them to actually have some liquid in the ground.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
A lot of sense.
And I think I saw some baby lettuce coming up. I was going to try growing some, and I planted it, and then I ignored it, and now I think I see plants coming up there, so I was going to water that, but I also keep bees, and my bees are having a honey fest between where the hose is and the lettuces, so I am not going to water.
What is a honey fest?
Well, we extracted the honey from the frame, the foundation,
yeah,
what it's called, and when we're done, we set that back out for them.
Okay.
To clean up,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the wax, what are called cappings,
uh-huh.
which you cut off the
yeah.
frame so that you can have the honey.
Mm-hmm.
All of that, we have it on pizza pans and cookie sheets and pots. we just laid it out, and they have come, like, equivalent of droves.
Oh, so wow.
Covering these things and sucking
oh, wow.
out the honey.
Oh, incredible.
Recycling, and it cleans it up for us. That's less work.
Yeah, so then you can use the caps and the wax, right?
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
And I won't have to wash it.
Yeah.
Maybe at all. I mean, they're really working that stuff, breaking it down. And,
make them work.
Yeah. Yeah, they get the honey, and I don't have to wash it down the drain.
Yep. That would feel really bad.
It's pretty nice. It's working pretty well.
Excellent.
Yeah, mutually beneficial experiment.
How long have you been keeping bees? When you said you were a beekeeper, I was very interested.
Yeah, I've only been in my third year. I think,
oh wow!
So we haven't been doing it too long, but
was that your main job? That taking care of the kids, or do you do something else too?
I volunteer a lot.
Yeah,
and some days it's like a full time job.
That sounds yes.
I help out with the League of Women Voters, and I'm on the board here.
Nice.
I have a board system, an administrative team,
oh,
and
wow.
I do their publicity. And heaven forbid I ever do this again, I've been working on their handbook, which is updated every year.
Oh, wow.
And it's, you wouldn't think it'd be very much. It's like, oh, that should take me a couple hours, but
uh-huh.
20 hours later, I'm cursing.
You're
the day that I agree. Like, it's got to be easier to just make a few corrections than find somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
I think I was wrong.
Oh, no.
Anyway, that's one thing. There's a local Justice and Peace Commission
mm-hmm.
here who does some work with the environment, getting
nice.
People organized to make a difference.
Uh-huh.
Help them and
mm-hmm.
Stuff with my kids' school.
Stuff. Yeah. I was just curious.
So but yes, definitely the kids, especially the last 2 days when one of them was sick.
Oh, no. With the flu?
What's that?
With the flu?
No.
Okay, good.
No, he had some other bug, and
mm-hmm.
it was no fever, just throwing up,
oh.
like every 40 minutes
oh.
or 12 hours.
Oh.
We started timing it because, after a while, you're just laughing. Like,
yeah.
You have nothing left, kid. What are you doing?
Again? Again?
So, anyway.
Sounds like the sicknesses that I used to get when I was little.
Yeah.
My sister would get pneumonia and bronchitis and these long, drawn-out things, and I would have a literal 24-hour over-the-weekend flu where I'd throw up all the time and then be better.
Yeah, definitely the preferred.
would tell you a little bit more about what I'm doing.
Okay.
I don't know that I have much more than I've already communicated to you. And before I do that, is it okay if I record this interview so I have it? Okay. And be used for my research, so I need to let you know. And can I use your real name, or should I use... Okay. Everybody who I ask that say, well, why wouldn't you?
I don't know. Is it going to result in garden stalkers?
Exactly. Digging up the old, forgotten, hidden stories of the garden.
Yeah. You know, yeah, but, really.
So I'm just doing my research on the Eagle Heights Community Gardens, and I haven't pinpointed exactly what angle I'll take yet, but right now I'm just trying to get a sense of how the gardens have changed over their 50-year history and how people have seen them as a place and what they've done in them and, yeah, how they remember them.
Okay.
Sort of this, trying to create an organizational history but put that in the context of the landscape and people's memories. So how I've been starting every interview is just asking you what you remember most about the gardens, or what were the gardens like when you were there?
It's a small question.
It's such a small question, but it, you know, what's sort of the first image or thing that comes to mind when you're thinking about the gardens?
Oh, let's see. Probably just, you know, when I was there, I don't know if it's still that way, everything looks like forest as you come up the hill.
Mm.
And then there's that opening, which was just a little drive,
mm-hmm.
and then the field. And it's so very, you know, green. It comes to mind as green, not mm-hmm. not dead. Or, you know, the winter scene does not come to mind, of course.
Yeah.
It's the growing season that comes to mind.
Uh-huh.
And if I think about it, you know, then it will come in other seasons, but I always think of it as being in its full production mode and
mm-hmm.
growing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. No, I like to hear people's first thoughts about it.
Uh-huh. Green.
Green.
And green and producing, I
green
guess.
And producing. Yeah, very similar. When did you start gardening, and how long were you gardening for at Eagle Heights?
I am not... prepared for that.
No.
I'd have to do a little timeline.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's kind of funny. I got married in 89. And we probably started in 91.
Mm.
And we left there right after Christmas of 94,
mm.
moved out here in 95. So probably from 1991 to, oh wait, I forgot about 90. I like 1990 didn't even exist. Yeah. But you know what, it probably didn't as far as gardening there, because
mm-hmm.
we had a crazy time of where we were living, and I think we moved into Eagle Heights after the gardening season.
Yeah.
90.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess 91 is accurate.
So, yeah, so 91 to 93, probably.
Well, actually through 94.
Through 94.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, right, because you left in the winter of 94.
Yeah.
So that's a...
I got another gardening season out.
Nice. So did you garden... What made you want to garden there? How did you hear about it? Had you gardened before?
I probably just got the Eagle Heights newsletter or... a flyer or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I gardened a tiny bit growing up with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And so it definitely appealed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'd also been interested in saving seeds.
Mm.
And it's kind of funny. Today is actually the deadline for the Seed Savers Exchange, which is an organization.
Yeah.
And if because I don't do my yearbook listing today, and I don't get in next year's yearbook. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I put this off all month. So, you know, Eagle Heights is where I started some of that. And I'd have to look back, but I probably joined about that time. And if I could only find my gardening notes, I don't know what I did with them. Then I could probably tell you a whole lot more about that. And literally what I grew if I kept track. I found one old map. But, you know, it says beets. I'm like, well, what kind of beets? Because that's the kind of, I mean, if you're a seed saver, you got to know what kind of beets. So, anyway, the whole seed saving thing appealed. I actually then had land that I could, you know, do something. Also, I was a master gardener. I took the master gardening course while I was there, which is a county extension thing. And I used my garden plots to evaluate some test crops.
Oh, what, like what? What? Do you remember what?
There was a bean, some kind of green fillet bean or something. I might actually have. But it's funny, I remember that one of them was a hybrid squash. It might have been called Carnival. And it's an acorn squash that is very colorful on the outside. You probably see something very much like it at a grocery store.
Okay.
You know, it's like a pale white, but it has flashes of green and orange on it. It's a hybrid. When I say flashes, it's not really, you know, striping or modeling or something like that would be a better word. And it's hard to tell what the base color actually would have been. But anyway, so the Carnival squash and Sharon Tay. Charentais melons, I think, was the other one. It's really funny. I remember all that. But they were a melon. And that's what I think. Those were the three I did.
So what struggles did you have with seed saving, or what did you start saving to begin with?
Ken Kamichik is the name of he was, I don't know if he still is, a researcher there at UW. And he had offered, he was listed in the yearbook once, listing some beans. And, you know, here's somebody on my home turf just as I want to get started. So I went to see him and he gave me some beans. And so I was the new proud owner of seven varieties. And I think I planted them the first year all at once in my four adjacent plots. And they mixed, which was a very bad thing, because if you plant them, you know, you just, and they intermix, then your genetic strain is not valid anymore, so that was one struggle. Biggest struggle in Eagle Heights, though, for me, gardening, was weeds.
Was weeds?
Yes.
What kinds? Why was that such a struggle? Do you remember what kind?
Boy, I don't know. Weed mix out there is probably the same weed mix that was when I was there.
Probably.
But because you want to grow things.
Yeah.
And so it's like the equivalent of having too much on your plate at Thanksgiving and your eyes being bigger than your stomach. You're sure you can plant four plots, which is what I had the last couple of years. I probably started with two and then I went to four.
Wow.
And so you think, I can plant all this and I can keep up with it. But the reality is, that's a lot. That's a lot of, you know, area.
It is,
for a student to keep going. And so the weeds, of course, would come up. And, you know, when you become the chairman of the garden committee and your own weeds are as bad as they are, you figure you better be doing something. You can have sympathy for other people.
So what was the weed policy in the gardens then? Because I think the weed issue is still, it's still very prevalent. And I've read bits and they've done some things differently. But how did the garden committee try to deal with the weeds? And why did the garden committee decide that there needed to be a policy about weeds?
Well, that's a really good question. It was probably handed, whatever policy we had was probably handed down to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kept trying to keep up with enforcing it. We had, it seemed to me there was certain height, or if your garden plot looked neglected, as in you got it, maybe you planted it, maybe you didn't, but it doesn't look like you've done anything for, you know, the last 3 weeks, it would get mowed. And we paid money. We had a couple of part-time guys helping us out. I don't know if they still do that. And they would go and weed whack. And down we go.
Huh.
So there was definitely an incentive to get out there and weed your garden. Or at least look like you'd weed your garden, made some attempt to.
Yeah.
And I remember actually I was helping one of my, you know, neighboring, oh dear, maybe we shouldn't name names. Maybe you can't use my real name. I pulled up somebody's pepper plant. someone else was babysitting this plot, and for a, you know, a couple of weeks or something while her friends were gone. And I said, well, I'll help you weed, because she didn't know a pepper plant from, you know, a grass, grassy weed or something. And so I was pulling. But when you really get going and it's all intermingled, well, I managed to kill off one of their pepper plants.
Oh.
Oh, the guilt, the horror. I did tell her, though.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Sorry. Did you give her some of your peppers? Were you growing any peppers to replace the peppers?
Yeah, if I had peppers, I would have given them, but I'm not a big pepper person. Anyway, yes. But again, you know, you have, so it's kind of like cleaning house, too. It's always more fun to weed somebody else's plot than your own.
Were there ever any, did people get angry that you had come and mowed down their plot? Did you have any confrontations with gardeners over the weedy plot policy?
Yeah. And there was one specifically that caused some great anxiety for me. It was, I think it was like a women's studies major who was very mad at one of our garden workers. And this is where I can see where people might not want their names. And I don't even remember his name, although I could probably figure it out. But he came up to her, or she came up to him, and was very angry. And I think he called her something, and she was yelling at him, and we had to respond. I don't remember if we wrote a letter, or somebody, if she called, that was kind of gone, but I did have to talk to him. I think I wrote her a letter and said, you know, I'm really sorry this transpired, and I have spoken with, you know, my staff person, you know, we worked out that this won't happen again. But his comment was, she was so aggressive, you know, and I don't know, sometimes, I kind of feel like, we were lucky. It was nothing more serious came of it.
Mm-hmm.
But she did. She was very upset. And well, you know, that's the policy, though.
Yeah.
Sorry, lady.
Yeah, that's sort of my next question. So it seemed like it was the policy, but did most people follow it, or partially, or were a lot of plots abandoned throughout the year? What was the normal? Was it normal for somebody to have four plots like you did?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't even know if we have those records. If we kept those records. I don't know. I would say for some, you know, some people would do that. But I couldn't give you any kind of number at all.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's fine. General
I think
feeling.
You know, a lot of people are probably happy with one.
I
probably had big dreams of canning or something, which is kind of. I did move out here with a lot of canning jars, which haven't really been used. So I obviously had something in mind
for all that land to do something with.
All my four plots.
Yeah,
and it's funny. I don't remember how big they were, and I don't know how big they are. That might be an interesting thing to see if the size has changed.
Yeah. Well, I think they've stayed pretty constant. I think they're about 25 by 25 or 25 by 30.
Okay.
feet.
And here's something else. Mm-hmm. I do remember that we would try and give people the same plot if they wanted it from year to year.
Really?
Yeah. So that way, you know, if you were careful tending your little space, in theory, if you put compost on it or something, I don't know, maybe people buy compost. If you had done something to improve the soil, then in theory you'd have it the next year to benefit from. So, and people could choose, you know, the vicinity of the plot too that they would receive, or at least indicate their preference, I think. And so you could be closer. Is that right? I can't even remember the water system now, darn it. But it seemed like there were water spigots.
Yep.
Yep. So you could be closer to a water spigot, or you could be furthest out in the field, hoping that people would not come pluck your produce, or, you know, there was that kind of people that would probably have different theories on where they would want to be, depending, you know, or if you're at the bottom of the hill, other people's pesticides, if they cheated, might wash down toward you. I think it was supposed to be organic.
That was my next question. Was it all organic when you were there, or was it certain rows?
I think what we did was we might have had an organic row. That seems really familiar. Like, we had an organic row or two, and then the bottom one was the pesticide row. You know, or you could use pesticides. And maybe that was the thinking, too, is if it was higher up than the organic plots, there wouldn't be runoff pesticides. So that's why the lower one would have been able to be pesticides. But it has been a while.
Yeah. When you were there, were you paying the university to plow in the fall and in the spring? That was still happening?
Yeah. Do they not do that anymore?
No. No, so now it's people even more can almost claim ownership of a plot and plant perennials, and it's full of raspberries and asparagus and rhubarb.
Wow. Interesting to me, because when that discussion was coming up when I left. I remember the UW guy being somewhat frustrated with us.
Why?
You know, for the plowing and, you know, the weeds and stuff like that. I never got the feeling they loved us.
Yeah.
But the discussion that's the UW side. The committee, there were some people pushing for the development of, like, another plot where there would be perennials, or that we could grow raspberries. And I didn't have the vision. I just could not see how that would work. But I can see now that if they went for the whole do not plow, that would work.
Yeah. I mean, what we don't have then is, were they adding manure or compost when they plowed too, or what? How did that system work, and what did?
I don't remember if they added anything.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
It'd be real interesting to see if you could track down. I don't know what kind of minutes or notes you have from the past.
Spotty.
You know, somebody going, I don't need this from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, recycle.
Yeah.
But if you could get the name of the guy who was in charge of the garden, the guy who, like I said, I think we were burring his side or something, maybe he could tell you what they added.
Yeah, and I've been. Does the name Ian? Is it Ian Wright? Tom Wright? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I've been, he's the head of the West Ag Research Station, so he's very busy, but I think he has been flagged as a person who did all that plowing for years and years, so I'm hoping to finally get in touch with him. It's probably been a half year
email everybody when you're done and let us know.
I will.
So they can go back, enjoy everybody's memories.
And you will definitely hear this when it's done. There were several questions that would come out of what you just talked about, organic plowing. I guess tell me a little bit about your committee work. What made you decide to become garden committee chair? What responsibilities did you then have? What was the committee like then?
let me grab something. I had a list of phone numbers, and I might be able to give you an idea based on who they are.
Yeah.
God, this is coming back. Like, whoa, I remember that. Hold on. Okay. One thing we did, and this is amusing to me because it happened again later, and it's just frustrating that people had to go through this.
Oh, no, what
happened? I think the year we did it, or that I was chair, we went for a 501c4 status, maybe?
When did you become chair? Do you remember?
I think I was chair in 93.
Okay.
And I'm looking at my list right now. You know what? They must have... Let's go back to manure.
Okay, good.
I think they must have dumped a load for us.
Mm.
Because I wrote on my garden map, it was on the top of my pile, a little bit of manure and mulch, and lots of manure. So... The only way one could differentiate is if they gave us a pile. I think they gave us the dumped pile of manure and mulch or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see.
Hmm.
I do have a 1994 garden committee list, believe it or not. And let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 names on here.
Wow.
on a weekly or monthly basis, more of a stipend almost. You know, and they were expected to put in a certain number of hours. But there was really no way to enforce it.
And yeah.
So hopefully they were honest.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe they gave me a treasurer. An hours estimate. But
yeah.
I don't know that I ever saw it.
Okay.
Let's see.
Committee.
Why I became garden committee chair is, I guess, because I felt like I could run a meeting. They're, you know,
yeah.
And I was comfortable doing that. There might not have been anybody else to volunteer to do that. You know how that is.
Yeah.
Everybody's willing to do something, but not be chairperson.
Yeah.
So that might be how I wound up with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I can read you the list of jobs.
Sure. Read me the list of jobs. You just have a list of jobs that the committee performed?
I have their name, their address, their Eagle Heights phone number, and the office that they held.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the committee, were you envision? You say that you went for 501c4-3 status?
I think it was 501c4. There's 501c3, which is total nonprofit, and then there's another listing, and it's kind of like a club that is nonprofit, but, you know, it's not quite 501c3, and we wanted to do that because, for one thing, we're paying people, and we wanted to be sure we were on the up and up with the IRS, and so we just worked hard to get that done. And then the next year, I might have been chair in 93 and 94, and then left, I don't remember. Well, actually, this does say 1994 Garden Committee, and my name is there.
So you had to have been on it, at least.
Obviously the chair in 94. Maybe 93 is the questionable year. We filed and got it, and then the following year, which must have been 94, you know, we had to go back to the IRS and say, well, here's what we made, and really it's not enough to file. All you have to do is fill out a little form that says, well, we didn't make more than $20,000 or whatever it is, but, you know, we had money coming in, we had money going out, so it just seemed like a good idea.
Yeah. So if you're that club nonprofit, you just have to show that you're not making enough money to be paying
file.
The IRS anything to file taxes. How did you see the committee, the relationship to the university's structure, the gardens? Where did you feel as a committee chair? What interactions did you have with the university institution?
Very little, actually. We would have worked with Tom Wright to get it dissed, plowed, whatever, and then it looks like they billed us. I mean, spring billing. Yeah, that sounds like it.
Yeah.
You know, we paid them to do it. And so it seems to me that I would have been on the phone with Tom arrange that on, you know, a spring weekend. And it was always, it's sort of touch and go. Even down, you know, in March, you don't know when you're going to open the gardens because you don't know when they're going to get plowed, because it's partly his schedule, and it's when the ground is thawed enough, because you don't want to damage the soil. Or the equipment, I suppose.
Yeah.
The ground is rock solid. And too wet, because, of course, a late snow or just the melting snow, the ground might be too wet, and, you know, that oil structure, of course, could be damaged.
Yeah.
So that was a consideration.
Yeah.
Then, you know, we met in the Eagle Heights Community Center, I think. Now I'm like, there was a community center, right?
Yes. There is indeed a community center.
I'm pretty sure I shopped there.
Yeah.
I voted there.
you shopped there.
Well, I think somebody had a co-op in there once.
I think, yeah. I saw some notes of a co-op in the 70s. I didn't know it was going until the 90s, but yeah.
I think so.
Yeah,
it seems like some little room or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there had to have been.
Okay.
I'm almost positive.
Very neat. I like it.
I'm pretty sure I shopped there.
I believe you.
Well, yes, it's a matter of whether or not I believe myself.
Yeah, I know.
But it does seem really familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very small.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so let's see. The UW institutions.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had to tell somebody at the community. I mean, you had to arrange to meet at the community center
mm-hmm.
to have your room. And it seems to me like when we had that difficulty incident in the garden
mm-hmm.
that somebody called the community center mm-hmm. person
yeah.
and talked and complained, like the woman
mm-hmm.
who was
yeah.
offended. Like she called and complained
mm-hmm.
to the community center, which of course could do nothing about it, so that's where I got the phone call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was certainly a sense for me that you had to behave, if you will. I mean, you couldn't just take over because it's the UW's land.
Yeah.
So you can't ignore them. You have to be cooperative and
mm-hmm.
light. But really, there wasn't a whole lot of other interaction that I recall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although, speaking of being cooperative and polite,
yeah. Yeah.
there's still, and you know, this might feed in very well for your research, the association with land and ownership of land,
mm-hmm.
of course we didn't own it, but you still have, you feel possessive
mm-hmm.
about it. And this is very interesting to me when I was out in the gardens and a professor was taking his class through the gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this reaction, like, what are they doing here? You know, they better not pick anything.
Mm-hmm.
the possessive feeling I had
mm-hmm.
was maybe a tad overdone.
Yeah.
But I definitely felt like I had to keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember going through like the university phone book or something and
mm-hmm.
figuring out which professor this was.
Huh.
You know, was he doing the right thing out there?
Mm-hmm.
And I used this block of class through like a little mini field trip to talk about the plants and I think culture because of all the different plants that you would see out there. The diversity, that's something too, is the diversity of the gardens
mm-hmm.
is just really neat and amazing
mm-hmm.
because you have people from around the world
mm-hmm.
literally growing things out there.
Yeah.
So, I think that's why he was wandering the field.
Yeah. Maybe he was also looking for some free produce.
No, but maybe. He's like, my God, what are you doing here? You'll catch that plant.
Yeah.
So, anyway, kind of an amazing sight.
So, yeah. So, did you know a lot of, I mean, I guess as the chair of the committee, you knew at least the committee, other committee members. Did you know a lot of other gardeners? How were plots assigned? And, yeah, how did that work?
Well, I wonder if you could even find our registrar people.
I don't know.
It's funny. Heather Lotz, and you go across and it says registrar.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had people doing the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I was, I didn't ever do that, I don't think.
Okay.
But, you know, we sent out an announcement, I think. I don't remember if we mailed it or how we would have gotten it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But, or maybe we just had flyers at the community center and people had to go get them.
Mm.
It went in the Eagle Heights newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But
yeah.
Somehow you get your Mm-hmm. And you would write down what area you wanted. We had a little map, I think, on there.
Okay.
And people would circle about where they would want to go, or if they had a specific number, the plots had to have been numbered,
yeah.
I think, then you could request, like I mentioned before, mm-hmm. you could request your former plot, and the people who had gardened before would get first dibs. If you made it, there was a little bit of pre-registration, too.
Mm.
You know, or, now, okay, hold on. I think we had a deadline.
Mm.
And, but it was also first come, first served.
Okay, yep.
So, the way we must have done it is, if you, you know, if you're somebody who wants your old plot, then you need to get it in.
Mm-hmm.
If you, I would guess if you had it before the deadline, you would still get your former plot.
Yeah.
It's kind of a guess, though.
No, that makes sense. Okay.
But I do, it seems to me the sheets were green, even. It's kind of funny that I could remember that, if that's the case. But I'm pretty sure you could circle and or, in, you know, on the little map, or indicate which plots you had before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I think, I don't know if this is from when you were there. I think I've seen one of these sign-up sheets, but it also indicates that some rows or multiple rows were fallow or planted in cover crops. Do you remember doing, figuring that out as a committee, or who, was that even something that you, was happening when you were?
Oh, yeah. In? Yes, that sounds familiar. We would rotate one of the rows.
Okay.
In and out of circulation. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. that sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
That we would have had one resting, if you will.
Yeah.
The cover crop.
Mm-hmm.
So, woe to he or she who...
who wanted that.
Wanted to keep going in the same plot year after year. As there's go fallow for a year, but, mm-hmm. you know.
But were there ever too many people to assign plots to? Probably not.
I don't think so.
Okay.
That doesn't seem familiar. Mm-hmm. Like you would have had, you know,
yeah.
too many. But on the other hand, I don't remember us having a lot of extra.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the right amount.
Yeah, it seems like it. Odd.
Yeah.
That should be the case.
Yes, odd. Did, were there a lot of people that weren't affiliated with the university gardening when you were there? Or do you even know what that breakdown?
What do you mean?
Was like, meaning, were there community members who weren't professors or staff or faculty or graduate students? Just people in the community who had a plot in Eagle Heights?
There was at least two brothers, I think,
mm-hmm.
who, or one brother. It brings back memories of two guys,
mm-hmm.
oddly enough, who were brothers who gardened there,
mm-hmm.
who lived in the Shorewood area.
Yeah.
You say that like they're still there.
Well, just a lot of the community members that I know who are there now live in Shorewood. Because
one of them named, okay, one was Ken,
mm-hmm.
and one was Levi.
I don't know, those names don't ring a bell.
Those two names are suddenly popping up.
But
like,
I will.
You know, they might have had something to do, which is funny because I can't remember, like, my entire garden committee's names until I had the sheet in front of me, but Ken and Levi come back Maybe because they stood out
mm-hmm.
as a couple of community members. And that is probably, those community members are probably why we didn't have extra garden spaces.
Mm.
You know, things, I would guess maybe the Eagle Heights community did not use every last plot, and so we brought in those community members.
Mm. Hmm.
You know, fill
yeah.
the demand.
Yeah.
Which is good.
It is good. It's better than having empty, wasted space.
Yes, weedy, empty space. You know, and actually you mentioned why have a weed policy.
Yeah.
One reason, of course, is if you let the weeds go, then that much more weed seed is in the ground the following mm-hmm. year for the next gardener.
Yeah.
That's a really big reason to not have weeds.
Yeah.
So, I don't remember if that was official or not, but that's my opinion.
Yeah. As a gardener.
As a gardener, yeah.
What about the land surrounding the garden? What do you remember what was happening in the surrounding areas? There's the woods on one side, as you described it, but...
Right. And, what about other places? You know, and then that wooded area right between the drive, mm-hmm. but not a very thick wooded area, just enough to be really beautiful green and more green. In the summer, it almost hides the gardens, and then in mm-hmm. the winter, of course, you could see on through all those deciduous trees.
Mm-hmm.
It was empty field.
Yeah.
There were just... We had our garden shed, mm-hmm. our mulch pile that has come back to me, and mm-hmm. then the rows, and then over the hill there were some apple trees.
Yeah.
And I remember not knowing if the apple trees were up for grabs or not, you know, if the apples were.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I don't know what the story on those is either these days.
They're still there.
They're still there.
I made cool. some good applesauce with the apples from those trees.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, and that's something, you know, that I wish had been more clear was, okay, can we all help ourselves to those apples?
Yeah.
Or can we not?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I just decided to take some. But it's definitely, yeah, now I talk to somebody and, because they'll just go to waste if you don't take them. Nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
Yes, it bothers me.
I know. Me too. They're falling apples on the ground. Not good. They aren't the most beautiful apples, definitely, but
cool.
Pretty tasty. I feel like I've left a lot of hanging ends, and now I need to remember what they are.
I'm so sorry. Well, we talked about UW institutions.
Yeah, I guess we covered that. There wasn't really anything, was there? They didn't bother to do any oversight or anything.
Not particularly. No. I'm trying to remember if Tom Wright ever called me about the weeds getting too high. Mm. I don't think he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That just doesn't seem like there was anything mm-hmm. that they mm-hmm. were trying to make us do or make us not do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just sort of there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The mutual kind of like keep your distance kind of thing, maybe.
Yeah.
Don't make waves. They won't bother us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. I guess we could go back to the committee for a few minutes because we talked about assigning plots, but not necessarily about other things that the committee did, except you applied for this 501c4.
Right. Well, I can run down the list. We had our secretary, mm-hmm. somebody who would obviously take notes.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like one couple did registration and postal stuff, but another person did registrar.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure what the difference between registration and registrar
would
have been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Publicity, mm-hmm. which is kind of funny.
Yeah, what do you think that person did? Probably newsletter?
No, because I got a newsletter person.
Huh.
And I tell you, if our newsletter person had, I don't know if I emailed you this, our email person, his name was Stephen Scoville, he was funny.
Hmm.
He was so funny in his writing. And one thing that jumps out in my mind from his writing,
mm-hmm.
I look very much forward to getting our newsletter because he just wrote the best articles. He wrote about passing the gold on the ground, which was a specific reference to my plot because I was growing a cherry tomato, and this would have been one of the Seed Savers varieties that I was growing. It's called Tennessee Yellow Cherry mm-hmm. Tomato, and it's so beautiful and gold, but I had planted enough plants that I could not keep up, and so at the end of the season, I think there were these mounds of plants producing these yellow talk about waste. Oh, terrible. But, you know, you can only eat so many tomatoes. And you can only keep up with so much.
It's
so much produce.
It's true.
Spilling out of the ground there. And, okay, now we have to go way back to the beginning of the conversation, too. And then we'll come back to our one of the images that does come to mind when I think about the gardens is carrying the bags back from the garden, and my arms practically wanting to fall off. Like, just so much.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, when you have to, you know, bring it all in, folks, you have to dig up any potatoes, you have to harvest that squash or the melons and the beans and the tomatoes, and it's heavy.
Yeah.
And I think we said that the garden carts had to stay in the garden.
Yeah.
So you couldn't take them home as a wheelbarrow, which would have been so much nicer. But that's an image of just carrying, you know, an armload on either side.
Yeah.
Or not even an armload, but bags.
Yeah.
Being overwhelmed with how heavy it was and not wanting to come back for another trip because I just didn't want to do that. Anyway, okay, back to the committee. Let's see, we had the secretary, the registration, the publicity. Yeah, publicity, maybe that was getting out the word for getting the registration. Bob Gifford was his name.
Oh, good, I've connected with him.
You have?
Or I will be talking to him, yes.
Well, you can say that publicity is next to him, his name on the 94 coffee. What did he do already?
I will ask him that explicitly.
Yeah.
Funny.
15 years later, his garden chair wants to know, what were you doing? okay, we had a guy named Carl Houtman. He was our setup captain. That brings back memories, too, because we had our setup day and we had our cleanup day. And setup day was, you know, measuring out those plots. And that's kind of funny, too, because you might have said you were going to have, you know, the same plot as last year, but it might have moved a couple of feet in one direction or the other because just how setup went.
So you had a team of people out there measuring and putting stakes in the ground and...
Yeah, but, you know, it wasn't an assigned team, necessarily.
Yeah.
You, which might have explained the publicity person's job, you had to go with who showed up.
Yeah.
So it was, oh, you have a garden plot. It seems to me we said, you know, you had to help out.
Yeah.
Had to help with setup and cleanup.
Okay.
So, of course, participation was not 100%.
But
we wanted people, if they were signed up for a plot, to help out with one or the other day, at least for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And, so a lot of the committee would be there and some other folks in the gardens, and they were the team. So
yeah.
The team was defined by who showed up that day.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's see. Looks like I had vice chair people.
Nice. That's good.
And I don't know what they did. there's our registration postal again. Oh, we had three people in charge of registration, or four.
Wow.
And the cleanup captain, so that would have been the opposite of the setup captain, just in the fall.
Yeah.
Cleaning up. And refreshments. So I think we fed people.
That's good.
our newsletter guy, he would write an article. I don't think we had our own newsletter. I think he wrote the article for the Eagle Heights community newsletter.
Yeah.
We had one. Let's see. This is handwritten. It looks like it's stakes and wood. Something. I can't read to my handwriting. But I would guess that person just made sure we had stakes on hand for staking our...
For staking the ground.
And, of course, our treasurer.
Uh-huh.
And
thanks. I'll see what, if you have any other, I don't think that I need all the names, but I was, at some point I do want to hear if you have any other name suggestions for people.
I definitely see if you can get a hold of Stephen Scoville.
Okay. How do you spell his last name?
S-C-O-V-I-L-L-E.
V-I-L-L-E.
Yeah, Stephen with a V.
Oh, with a V. Okay,
yeah. Perfect. And I think he was going to be an international relations major or math major or something. Mm-hmm. But I thought his talents at writing were going to be incredibly wasted. He was very funny. There was a guy who was came out of UW a couple of years before me. Mm-hmm. He wound up writing for USA Today or something. Stephen Malmute or something. Malmute. That seems familiar. But, you know, people thought he was funny, but I thought he was a little too sarcastic. He was too sarcastic and for my taste. Mm-hmm. And Steve, I can't remember what we called him. Uh-huh. He was funny without being rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of fun to read his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway. Good luck with that one. You got to be a detective for people from 15 years ago, I bet.
Yeah, well, I talked to some people from the 60s that I found through the newsletter. That was some people who were there when the gardens first started, which it was good to talk to them.
Yeah, that's great.
Through the decades. Yeah, yeah. It's fun. It's fun to hear everybody's experiences.
Yeah.
Did you interact with many people while you were gardening? Like, did you know your neighbors? Or is it mostly just you and the plants? Or what was that like?
Well, I think my experience there was that as long as the day is, you know, mm-hmm. in a 7-day week, mm-hmm. the chances of you running into any one particular person regularly are pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know that part mm-hmm. built any community.
Mm-hmm.
I remember at our setup day, somebody, and it might have been Bob Gifford, but there's a couple other names. David Long is another one that he was our cleanup captain.
Okay.
And I can't remember if it was David or Bob, but somebody felt it was important to try and build that community, mm-hmm. even on that day. And so I don't remember if it was when we got started or at the end, but he played his guitar and we sang inch by inch. That was pretty 60s. When you think about it. I'm a little bit warm. You know, some of us just were born at the right time or something. But we did. But inch by inch, row by row, I'm going to watch the scarf grow.
Yep.
That was something we sang. And it was a little awkward, I think. But it was fun. I loved to sing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. If you don't know the words,
then it could, yeah. Then you just have to mumble a lot.
Yeah. I seem to remember that they beat your hand in the words, too. Mm, mm-hmm. But even so, it wasn't.
And did that happen at more than one setup or cleanup day? Who knows?
I only remember it once.
Mm-hmm.
But we might have done it twice. Yeah. And I might have skipped all the other setup days.
Yeah.
Bad me. I think it was a neat idea to try and build that community. But that is probably the only time that everybody, you know, it is really the only time everybody comes together.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you might stop and talk to people about the garden,
mm-hmm.
but, and I'm outgoing and friendly enough
mm-hmm.
most of the time, that I would have said, oh, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
Smiled and waved.
Yeah.
On the other hand, because it is as diverse as it is, you aren't sure that the person who's gardening right there speaks your language.
Yes.
And so that would hold me back personally. You know?
Yeah. How did the committee deal with the multilingual diversity and non-English speakers?
No, I can't say that we did particularly, which actually leads to another funny, kind of funny story. My brother can imitate people pretty well.
Oh, no.
and make up voices. So he called me and pretended to be an Asian woman trying to get a garden plot. And I remember insisting, well, when you get your form, you can do it. You can sign up, and how many plots can I get? It was terrible. And he had me completely going for most of the conversation. But we didn't really have a problem, you know, whether everybody was, I suppose if you're coming to an American university, you have to speak a reasonable amount of English.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody in the household would have been able to fill out that form.
Yeah.
And so other than that, I don't think we had any real difficulties.
Yeah. Interesting.
So anyway, that's that part.
Yeah. I'm going to keep jumping around just as much as you are.
We're terrible.
Did you want a place in the organic plots, or did you not care? And what was your reason? What was your gardening? I mean, you were saving seed, but did you want the same place in the garden every year and in the organic plots?
Okay. Because I was making the effort to pull some of that manure pile, put it in my garden.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to make sure that I had the benefits of that in the next year or two.
Yeah.
And yes, I was. I'm sure I was in the organic plots.
Mm-hmm.
I must have been.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I am.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like. Did it seem as though a lot of people, did it seem like that was the general tendency in the gardens? It couldn't have been the complete tendency if it wasn't all organic. But,
right. I think...
general gardening ideologies.
Yeah. I don't know that people... You know, I have to wonder if we even had that if we had a row that we could do pesticides.
Yeah.
Like we did. It really does seem like we had our organic plots and then our non-organic plot. I'm pretty sure, but not 100% certain on that, so you can ask Bob. And I'm so glad you have somebody else from this year. Thank you. So, you know, I think even the people who might do pesticides wouldn't necessarily do pesticides. I think we just left that as an option. And I don't remember the demand being significantly one way or the other either. It just might not have been something I paid enough attention to.
Yeah. I mean, in different... I think... I haven't gone back and looked at it. I think I have a list of the rules for the... But it might not have been as early as you were there. It might have been like in 96 or something. But, like, the ways that, you know, how organic is defined also varies, I think, over time in the garden, so.
I do remember a debate about BT at some point.
Oh, okay.
You know, can you use BT? Can you not use BT? Is BT organic? I don't remember which way we settled.
What?
I remember the conversation.
Huh. Interesting.
I would guess we went ahead. Theorized that it was.
That it was.
Organic.
It was organic.
Yeah, probably. And I bet I was actually getting Organic Gardening magazine back in the day.
Yeah. What have I forgotten to ask? Do you have anything you thought I might ask you about that I haven't?
Nothing in particular comes to mind now.
Okay.
I tell you what, I'm getting another call on my other line. You want to look list over? I'll answer that and come right back.
Okay, answer that. Okay, I'll call you back.
Okay. So you're going to be right there, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'll be right back.
here. Oh, that was maybe 2 seconds.
That was what?
That was 2 seconds.
Oh, well, you know, I'm on long distance. Goodbye.
Yeah. Fast, fast, fast. That's good.
That particular person was a talker, so if I didn't catch her right away, it would have been 5 minutes.
Yep. One of those people. Completely no. Understandable. I don't think that I have anything else right now. I think we covered most of it.
I think you should ask people if they're still gardening. How's that?
Oh, that is a good question. You must still be gardening because you were talking about it. So what? How did that? Did the experience in Eagle Heights make you want to keep gardening?
Well, it didn't make me stop.
That's for sure.
It was probably part of my continued gardening. If I had started gardening here in Colorado, I might not still be gardening.
Because
it's depressingly different. Because it's very dry here, and it's cold at night. You can grow an amazing beefsteak tomato in Wisconsin. And, of course, you can grow a lot of weeds there, too. Yeah. Here, sometimes there's not enough water in my garden to grow the weeds very well.
Wow.
And that's partly my fault. I should just water more. But I'm stingy because partly I, grew up in the incredible climate that is there. And people complain here about how long their growing season is. How long it is.
Okay.
It's almost exactly the same as it is there.
Huh.
But our nights are colder, so we don't get the amazing tomatoes and peppers. I should preface this. This is where I am specifically. You drive an hour south, and it's like chili growing. An amazing chili growing place. And their nights might still be kind of cooler, but they can get amazing tomatoes, and they can get melons. I don't know, I can. Part of it's just where you are in town, even.
Yeah.
Amazing. But the soil is nothing compared to the soil there either. So I'm constantly... I'd be doing it there, too, probably. But I'm a leaf snatcher, and I'll take people's bags of leaves off the side of a road and bring them home and compost them. It's all have compost. The soil is different. Temperatures are different. The growing season is also about the same. Yes, I keep gardening.
Keep gardening. Yes. What are you saving this year? So you've been doing Seed Savers since you left Wisconsin? Since 94? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm actually saving... I'm trying to think how many varieties I might have had the first couple of years there, and I don't know. But I'm saving some of the same varieties. I still have that Tennessee yellow cherry tomato. And one is called Peace Vine cherry tomato. I'm not still growing like the big tomatoes. I've changed to a medium-sized tomato because I just don't have the same success here. But some of the same varieties.
Yeah. Is it hard to save seed?
It depends on the variety. Or actually, on the plant.
On the plant.
Species. A squash is really easy. And beans are really easy as long as you don't grow them too close together. Like side by side, I would not recommend.
So how far apart do you have to plant different varieties? How far apart do you have to plant different varieties so they don't cross-pollinate?
That would depend
on the variety.
The plant. And like a squash, if you grow two different kinds of squash side by side, they're almost guaranteed to cross.
Yeah.
Because the bee's going to go from one flower to the other. What a seed saver has to do is tape up the flowers.
Oh.
Yeah, you tape them like the night before they're going to bloom.
Okay.
And so you you have to pay attention.
Yeah.
That's kind of a hard thing to do, especially like at Eagle Heights, where I don't even, I did grow some squash out for Seed Savers, but I don't know that I saved any, because you would have to go out in the evening and go, oh, look, that plant is going to bloom tomorrow, and tape it shut.
Wow.
And then the next morning, you have to come out. The bees are up before I am, typically.
Yeah.
If it's warm enough, you have to go out and open up the flower. And in the squash case, there are male flowers and female flowers, so you'd have to open up the male flower and get the pollen pistil, I think is what it is, out, and then go pollinate the female flower, which you also have to close, and then you have to retape it. And mark it, in my case, with yarn, usually. You hand pollinated that one.
Wow.
Yeah. Because if the bees get in there at all, or flies or anything, it could have cross-pollinated.
Yeah.
And you do not want that.
No.
But, you know, beans, you just let them grow, and the bees don't usually visit the bean flowers when there's so much other stuff to visit. So
yeah.
It's not as much of a concern.
Which is good, because having to tape up lots of pea flowers
with
bean flowers would take a long time.
I mean, it can be done.
It can.
But, and something like corn, corn wind pollinates, and there is no way that a person could, I would think that a person would even try to do that. Not there.
Yeah.
Because corn is something to grow if you got that kind of land.
Yeah. Yep. When you actually have enough space.
Exactly.
That's true. That's really true. Oh, that's fascinating.
One thing about being able to have those multiple plots is you can actually, you could have your own little pumpkin patch. It's not just going to be one plant. You might actually be able to get, you know, three or four real pumpkins or something like that, too. And you can do a giant, you can have a plot of corn and put something up. That's nice.
Yeah.
And I think economically it probably is also a significant help to a lot of people, students. If they're efficient and out there on a regular basis, they're going to, you're going to see some real veggies coming in.
If you don't have to buy produce for an entire summer,
yeah,
it's not bad.
Yeah.
You mentioned, I remembered one last thing. You mentioned people taking produce from other people's plots. Did that happen a lot? Was that a big problem or just something that happened occasionally?
Little yellow tomatoes. Oh. You know, I don't think that that really happened very much. I don't recall it being a big problem. Maybe that was because my plot was further up the hill, and maybe thieves are lazy. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't remember it being a real problem.
That's good.
Yeah. And it is sort of out of sight, out of mind all summer. You come up the hill and you get that glimpse of the green, and then it's just not in your visuals anymore. Also, a lot of people probably don't have trouble making aged children, I would guess, at Eagle Heights. I tend to think of it as being mostly younger couples and families.
Yeah, there are a lot of small children around rather than older. That's true.
We live next to one of those smaller children.
You didn't have kids while you... Did you have kids while you were there?
Having had small children of my own now, I realize that, yes, sometimes the parents are not really doing anything to those children. They're just screaming. But we also had an excellent piano player, like 7-year-old or something.
Oh, wow.
She could play for Elise in the most amazing way. People thought I left the radio on when they come to visit. It's like, no, that's just upstairs.
Wow, that's incredible. That's really nice.
Yeah, actually, it's probably across the hall.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm trying to think. Oh, I could tell you I've been back to visit.
Oh.
But I come back in the winter because my family, some of my family is still in the Madison area. And I don't get by the university very often, but once or twice I've had to
Yeah.
You know, and go look around.
Uh-huh. Does it look pretty much the same?
I thought so.
Yeah.
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 But it was a dead winter, too.
Yeah. It all looks the same. It looks like bare ground with snow on it.
Yes, it really does.
A lot of snow.
Although it seemed to me they might have put something in closer to the trees and where the shed was.
Mm.
That might be where some of the permanent perennial type stuff is. I don't.
Mm. Yeah, I think there's maybe a row of, there's some raspberries there now.
Okay.
Maybe some blueberries. Yeah, I think there's some raspberries where you're talking about.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, because again, like, you know, if it is, it's all dead, then it's kind of hard to tell.
It is.
And I didn't get out and walk around because there's really nowhere to park. So.
Yep. Yep. Very, very, very true. Very true. Do you have any questions for me about what it's like now or anything that about my research that I don't know that I'll be able to answer, but I'm working on answering?
Nothing comes to mind, but
okay.
If it does, I think you sent me your number. I'll give you a call.
Yes, please do.
Or drop you an email.
Please do.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to talk about it now, thinking back, because maybe if I do get back there in another summer, I'll have to drive up there and walk, and maybe somebody who's feeling possessive will come over and say, what are you doing?
Ask who you are. Excuse me, what are you doing in this place?
Right, you look too old. You have to leave.
Yep.
One other thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, somebody did give me a call, and that was the first, oh no, I should have kept my records moment. And they got the website up and running, and they were looking to get $1 million. Does that sound familiar?
No.
They were looking, they were very ambitious, it seems, and they wanted to, wanted to get a whole bunch of money and create a foundation of some kind, or something like that to ensure perpetuity, is that the word I want? So that the gardens would be there forever, basically.
Wow.
And so that was an effort. Fairly recently, more recently than me.
Yeah.
And I think I wrote a letter in support of that. So I could forward that to you, I suppose.
Yeah, that would be great. There was some tension over where the garden plots being removed and things. But
that was probably that was in the last few years, and that was probably...
Oh, no, it was in the 2001.
Oh.
No.
Well, it could have been that long ago. I'm sitting at the same desk I would have had on the same phone in the same house.
So who knows?
Absolutely. But yeah, I seem to remember that that might be where the idea had its origins, because of that concern.
Mm. Well, I would love to, see the letter and find out who it was connected to, who was starting. That would be great.
And are they still in the same place then?
The gardens?
Yeah.
Yes, they are still in the same location. What happened was that the finger, the peninsula of gardens, that's no longer there. That was taken because it got really complicated. There was a new cogeneration power plant put in on Charter Street, which is where the Cowles Test Fields and the F.H. King Student Gardens were. And so then Cowles needed more land. And the land around the gardens had historically been Cowles Fields, and actually where the gardens are right now was also Cowles Fields. And then the gardeners were renting the fields from Cowles for a long time.
Right.
I don't know if you probably weren't still renting, but that was... So we were paying Cowles for the land, And then all that area was the Campus Natural Areas Network. Mm-hmm. And so Cal's asked if they could put the fields there, and that meant losing some spaces for gardens. So the finger's gone, and also some of the, maybe the 400s and 500 rows at the bottom of the hill are now horticulture plots and the F.H. King Student Garden.
Wow.
And I think they added plots to U houses. So what's also happened in that time is the university got worried and sort of has brought the gardens under into its institutional umbrella. Really under housing, and it's within the Lakeshore Nature Preserve. That's what those areas are called now. So it's actually part of a nature preserve, which is an odd dichotomy to have gardens in a nature preserve. It's just something that people don't. But anyhow, some land was added to the U Houses gardens when some plots in Eagle Heights were taken away, because they're now seen as the same. You know, they're all gardens rather than Eagle Heights versus U Houses gardens. So. Yeah. So there have been some changes, but...
Okay. I can tell you we had at least one person who lived in university houses for at least a little while on our committee.
Mm.
Maybe two. I don't know. Somebody has a Harvey Street address. I don't know what that was.
Hmm.
But, you know, when you first contacted me and you were curious about the university houses gardens, and I really don't even know if I ever laid eyes on those.
Mm-hmm.
It was a separate, mm-hmm. so completely separate from mm-hmm. us. I had the feeling they didn't have their act together over there for some reason.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you why I have that feeling.
Yeah. It's funny. When I got your reply email, I'm surprised that I asked you in connection with your houses, but it must have been some paper that I found that had your name connected to it, but I don't know why. My main focus has been Eagle Heights, because they really have two completely separate histories until the last less than 10 years.
Wow.
You know, everybody that I've talked to at Eagle Heights has never been to U Houses. You know, they never even thought about U Houses gardens. And it's still run pretty much separately, but they have their own work days and things, but under the same title for the universities, in the university's books.
Yeah.
But. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So that, about 10 years ago was when this the whole reshuffling happened in where the gardens fit on the landscape, but also in the bureaucracy of the university. So it's it is an interesting thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do look forward to reading all about it.
I will. It's nice to have... to think that I will have written something that many people want to read by the end. Many master's theses aren't of interest to many people.
Yeah, but. Like mine.
What was your master's thesis on?
Well, I am told that somebody has read it since then.
I'm sure.
And actually, it's very tempting sometime to go in there and like, put a $5 bill and then go back 10 years later and see if it's still there. It loses its value. But mine was on... I got my degree through the Environmental Studies Institute, and I wrote about communication, if you will, with farmers about water quality.
Huh.
You know, like how, you know, gee, Miss Farmer X, did you hear anything ever about how to keep your pesticides from running into the water
uh-huh.
in the stream next to your field and stuff
uh-huh.
like that? And I was working completely from somebody else's survey.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Survey data. So I never actually went up to the northern Wisconsin county. Was doing my research on. At least you can go take a stroll there, on the UW property.
Uh-huh.
But I heard that one other student was using some of my results or something in their own research.
Oh, so that's
that
good.
I hope my statistics were correct. Sounds like a little guilt there.
There's that worry that if you do get it, what happens when somebody wants to use what you've written or done? It's always better be right.
That's right.
Or close to it. Well, this was really great.
Pretty neat.
Thank you for talking with me.
Sure. Give me a call if you think of anything else or email, and I'd be happy to help out if I can.
Great. Thank you. This was really, it was extremely helpful. So.
Oh, good.
If you and if you want, if you have any questions or want to get back in touch or think of anything, let me know.
Okay.
Bye.
Sounds good. Thanks,
Bye.
Emma.
Thank you. Bye, Julie.
Bye-bye.